Okay, good morning. Good morning. Here we are another week. And as last week we started Parshas Bechukaisai, and we read the Pesukim, and we saw how Hashem says if we go in the Torah's way, then there will be positive consequence, like it will result in many positive blessings. That's what it was. It wasn't necessarily rewards. It could even be just direct results, if you want to say, of doing the right thing. So on the, I'll scroll back up a second. I just want to read the pasuk first, even though we'll read just one pasuk, the one that will really be going in depth today, and it is in Perek Chavav, and it's pasuk Gimel. So it's on the page, Rona. See with the circle? Yeah, beautiful. Im b'chukaisai teilechu, if you follow my statutes, ve'es mitzvaisai tishmeru, and observe my commandments, vasisem aisam, and perform them. So you can see already in the pasuk, we're going to, as we say, really analyze it. So b'chukaisai, they translate as my statutes, and then they say walk in my statutes. Statutes usually literally mean laws, but then it says observe my commandments, which is the same thing. So it's a bit repetitive, and we'll have to see why. And with the commandments, it says to observe, and then it says to do them. And then it tells us all the wonderful things about giving the rain at the right time and all of that. So today we're going to go through a few of the commentaries, some inside and some I'll share orally. So now, Rona, let's go to the third page of your booklet. So skip the next one, the next page of Pesukim, and the page after that looks like this. It has these comments. Yeah, right after that. Beautiful. The next, yeah. Stuck. There it is. That's the one. Okay, fantastic. So in this, in Pasuk Gimel, as you can see here, so first of all, I didn't make the Rashi clear. I didn't tick the Rashi, if you see, but Rashi is very important. I just want to show you something. It says, Im b'chukaisai teilechu. So Rashi says, Yochal zekium ha-mitzvis. Do you think that Im b'chukaisai teilechu means that we should just keep his mitzvahs, because we said the word b'chukaisai were his statutes, which is usually his commandments. But that can't be. But because the pasuk continues and says, you should be keep my mitzvahs. So obviously this means something else. Hare kiyim ha-mitzvahs amar. Hama'ani mekayim im b'chukaisai teilechu. So what does it mean in the pasuk when it uses the words im b'chukaisai teilechu? Shetihiyu amelim b'toira. This is a very famous line, these three words, and it's quoted from the Teiris Kahanim, which is the Medrash on Chumash Vayikra. And what it means is that you should be laboring in my Teira. Like a laborer. A laborer is somebody who actually, the imagery is, works very hard. So somebody who's literally so involved and so engrossed and so in and learns Torah in such a, like a laborer, totally given over. So obviously the first part of the pasuk is not the keeping of the mitzvahs, it's rather the learning of the Torah. So that's why we have the two. No virus, just started. So im v'chukaisai teilechu, so that means if you will learn my Torah as a laborer, and you will keep my mitzvahs. Okay, let's analyze a little bit more. So we have some beautiful ideas here. So the Eben Ezra says, im v'chukaisai tishmairu vasisem mitzvah. So he says like this, why does it sort of seem so repetitive, the pasuk? So Riva, it's the third page. The third page is the one with the commentaries. Says mitzvah lilmaid ulelamed vilaaseis. Very interesting. The mitzvah is to learn, right? We have to learn Torah, but not only to learn for ourselves, but actually to share, to teach others. And this is a mitzvah incumbent on all of us. Somebody knows something, they should share with another. And of course, the most important is to practically apply to do it. So to learn it, to teach it, and to actually do it. And that's why the pasuk has three phrases which seem repetitive, but they're not. They each one show something else. Then we'll see the Chizkuni says, Im b'chukaisai teilechu, im ta'asu ma shehitalti aleichem la'asais, if you do what I have put upon you to do, he says such a he has a beautiful poetic way of saying it, what will happen? Af ha'anonim, even the clouds, the ha'aretz, and the earth, and the ilanais, the trees, shenivru bishvilchem, which were created for you, yasu lachem, masha alehem mutalaseis. They'll do for you what they're responsible to do. You keep your responsibilities, and everything around you will participate and also keep their responsibilities. And that's why the bracha says, you'll get the rain at the right time. So the clouds will do the job, the earth will do the job, if we're doing the job. Sometimes we don't see it so clearly, but as I say, this is part of the bracha, and hopefully we will, and we do. So we do, and then everything else around us in nature also cooperates and does what they're supposed to do. Okay, that's how he explains the flow of the psukim. The Rabbeinu Bechaye says, "Hachukim shehizir behen kan," because it says, now this word b'chukaisai, as we say, is such an interesting word, because it can just mean statutes, like laws. It can mean, as we say, that you should be laboring, amelim, as Rashi said in Torah. But the word chayk, as we know it, is also those type of laws that we don't have a meaning for, right? So the statutes that Hashem just decrees, so to speak. He says, do it. Like, we know, we always use the example of shatness. You know, we don't know why, wool and linen, but you do it. So here the Rabbeinu Bechaye says, which statutes are we referring to? He says specifically Shemitah and Yovel. Why? Because that's what we were just told about in the previous parsha, the parsha Shalmaila. And that's why he says, "Ve'emar ata ki im neilech bahem v'nishmar hamitzvus shi'itein v'nishmar hamitzvus." So if you will taka keep those mitzvus that we mentioned before, which were Shemitah and Yovel, then yitein hagashamim v'itam, then the rain will taka fall at the right time. And then all the crops and the fruits will be blessed. All the things that grow from the ground. So that we should have the abundance and the tranquility. And all of the other special brachas. And all the other special brachas that we need to have. So as he says, keep mitzvahs of Shemitah and Yovel, and all these beautiful blessings will follow. The Baal HaTurim, it's very interesting because, as we know, the Baal HaTurim always ties in with the Gematria. So he says very nicely, just again playing on the words, Im b'chukaisai, the Gematria. Remember we said, Rashi said, Amelim b'Torah. So he says it's actually the same numerical value of Amelim b'divrei Torah, to be laborers in the words of Torah, which means specifically the learning of Torah. That's amazing, because that's what it means, but it's also the gematria, the numerical value. And then he says also that in b'chukaisai comes right after two mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Shabbos and Avodah Zarah. That's at the end of Parshas Bahar. Why? What's the point? So he says, Sheshkulim heim k'chol ha-mitzvahs v'achukim. Shabbos and Avodah Zarah are equal to all mitzvahs. We say that many times. Shabbos is mentioned so many times in the Torah, like repeated and repeated, because there's a few mitzvahs that say that are sort of equal to all others. Shabbos is one of them. Tzedakah is also one of them. But Avodah Zarah also, that would be to all the negatives. So like, they're so fundamental, they're the basis of everything. Okay, and then he says like this. Another interesting thing, because in the first bracha that he mentions, remember we said was that the rain will fall at the right time. What's the right time, according to Torah, for rain to fall? That's right. Even though we don't appreciate it so much, after the meal. But Friday night, after everybody's home, is the best time. Because as you know, in the older days, they didn't ride on their horse and buggy on Friday night. They didn't have to worry about the rain. So it was much better on a Friday night. And that's why it comes right after the mitzvah of Shabbos, because that's when we want the rain to fall. Okay. Then he says, also, if you look at the words, Im b'chukaisai teilechu, and you take the last, the first letters first, it's Aleph, Beis, and Tav. Sorry, Aleph, Beis, and Tav. Which make Avos, without the Vav, but Father, which means, Shetelchu b'darkei Avos, you should go in the way of your forefathers. That's what Im b'chukaisai teilechu means. In other words, if you don't know what these statutes are, just look at how Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov lived, and you'll learn exactly the way you're supposed to go. Okay, and then he says also beautifully that b'chukaisai, he says, is not just generally laboring in Torah, but it's actually even deeper. It's more the awe that we're supposed to have. Somehow he connects it to fear, awe. In other words, that he says that awe is what fills our treasure houses. He says, if Hashem says, you fill my treasure houses, I will fill yours. In other words, if you are in awe, if you have Yiras Hashem, I will ensure that you will have what you need, because I will open all my treasure houses and make them available to you. Okay, one more nice thing he says is, Vasisem oisam, the pasuk says, and you shall do them. And if you look at the word asisem oisam, oisam is also the same letters as emes. Just switch around the letters, same letters, Oysam Emes. Why? Because he says that you should involve yourself, obviously, in learning Torah, because Torah is truth. That's the only truth in the world. The only absolute truth is Hashem and his Torah. So involve yourself in learning Torah. And he says something beautiful. Everything, as we say, is always connected even to the week that we're in, even though we have nothing to do with the parasha, but nevertheless, always somehow. So look what he shows, something very beautiful. If you count, there are 10 psukim from Imbichu Kaisai till Va'oilech Eschem Kaimimiyas, which we said was the last of the brachas, right? That Hashem would make us walk upright. 10 psukim. If you look in this week's parasha, Parashas Toldos, when Yitzchak gives Yaakov the brachas, right? It's supposed to be Esav, but he gives it to Yaakov. Yaakov takes them. And it's actually interesting, there's not 10 psukim, but the way the commentaries divide the bracha is that there are 10 blessings included in Vayitein Lecha, in the blessing that Yitzchak gives to Yaakov. It's interesting because the blessing that Yitzchak gives to Yaakov is, we know it because we say it Matzah Shabbos. Some people have accustomed to say it after Havdalah. Vayitein Lecha Elokim Mital HaShamayim, that Hashem will give you from the dew of the heavens. It doesn't seem like such a profound bracha, but it's considered, interestingly, Kabbalistically, it's considered the highest bracha in the whole of the Torah, the bracha that Yitzchak gave Yaakov. Yeah, fascinating thing. Maybe that's also part of why it had to be done in such a tricky way, because it was impossible almost for Yaakov to get it directly in this world unless it would come through some kind of a roundabout way, that it needed to break through a lot of barriers to come into this world. But it's 10, and just like our brachas here are also 10, corresponding also obviously to the 10 commandments. Why? Not just the number 10. Because if you keep the Aseres HaDibreis, then you are Zeicha, then you merit for the brachas that Yitzchak gave and for the brachas in our parsha. So it all connects quite amazingly. Okay, so let's see. And also even the number 10 is important in it, because 10 means you're using your whole self. Every part of you, every capacity that you have, right? All the different powers of your neshama. And when you, like we said, when you are a laborer and you invest your entire self, then all of these things follow, all the beautiful brachas follow. Okay, now the Akedah, I'm going to do just a few of the words inside. So turn the page, go to the next page, because we're doing that. So he asks, he's the one that starts, and we're going to start with the question that we are going to find many of the commentaries analyze. And this is a fundamental question on this whole thing, because we read them last week. Remember, we read the brachas last week. We saw it said that Hashem will give the rains at the right time, that the fruits will, you know, everything will grow properly, that people will have peace in the land, that you'll, so they all seem to be, they're almost all very physical, material brachas. That's what they are. They're brachas that we enjoy in this world, that we can feel as physical beings, and they are, they're materialistic brachas. So the big philosophical question that many comments, and we're going to get to it soon to give a few answers on, right, very in a minute, is why does the Torah emphasize so much material blessings for keeping, for learning Torah, instead of what we would imagine, what should be the first blessing if you learn Torah? I would imagine, even if they want to mention some material blessings, but what would be the more, so to speak, connected one that we would think? What should the Torah tell us? If you learn Torah, what will happen? I mean, I would imagine the first thing it would tell us, you'll connect to Hashem. You'll feel more spiritual. You'll live a spiritual life, right? You'll go to Gan Eden, whatever it may be. You would imagine that the blessings should be spiritual blessings, because that connects much more, especially as we are always taught and we always understand that the physical is only it's only temporary. Transient, it doesn't last forever. Why would you emphasize so many material blessings for living such a spiritual, such a high life? It's a very big philosophical question. The question that's asked in many different ways. Many times people ask it also because if you look throughout the Chumash, any time that we mention the blessings that we get for keeping Torah mitzvahs, it's almost always physical blessings. The only maybe one exception is the fact that Hashem says, even in these blessings a little bit, that I will dwell amongst you. And that's, I guess, a spiritual idea, that we will have Hashem's presence with us. But that's about all. You don't have anywhere really in the Torah where it mentions Gan Eden and Olam Haba, that you don't have. It doesn't say about Tchias HaMesim in a revealed way. You have to find it. There are hints. But there's nothing overtly about it. There's nothing overtly about a person becoming more spiritual, in tune. Nothing like that. You don't find that's a reward which is openly and clearly stated. So it's a very big philosophical question to understand, and there are many, many ways to answer this dilemma. So in the Emek Dabar, I just want to look first. This was Emek, or was Akeda? This was the Akeda. Yeah, I just want to look at one line here. I know I didn't bracket it. Okay. So firstly, he says an interesting thing, that the neshama doesn't need to be told about her rewards. The neshama is always in tune with Hashem, right? That's what it is. It's one with Hashem. What is the thing that needs to be convinced to do mitzvahs? That's right, the Yetzer, exactly. So our body, you know, we're tired, we want to sleep. We're lazy, we don't want to make Shabbos. Whatever it may be, we don't, that's the body. So that's why the Torah has to address the rewards that will talk to the body, that we will understand as physical beings, that will be an incentive for us. So that's one way to look at it, one thing. He says also, interestingly, that we don't have to tell the not only that, but also we don't have to tell the neshama that you have to listen to Torah mitzvahs in this world in order to go to Gan Eden. The neshama knows that. But all you do have to tell the neshama is, in a sense, don't do sins, because if you do sins, it will block you. Now, obviously, the neshama doesn't want to do a sin, but the neshama is enclosed in a body. So sometimes it doesn't feel like it has a choice. So we tell it, be careful. Try to hold yourself back when things look tempting, because it's not worth it. It's only temporary. It's much more worth it to look at the big picture. So therefore, we say that we have to talk to, so to speak, as we can say, that's the reason why we say, v'nasati mishkani b'seichem, that I will place my dwelling amongst you and be holy. So what this means is that we try to tell the neshama, don't separate from God. That's about all that we tell him. But all the other things are referring to the physical rewards, the material rewards, to incentivize us to keep doing Torah mitzvahs. Let's look at the Abarbanel, because the Abarbanel, what he does is very interesting. He actually does a lot of work for us. And he decided to do the research, and he collected from all the other commentaries. So here we have it set out for us. It's on the same page on the bottom, the Abarbanel, right? It's looks like it's maybe, it says Tuf Shin Ayin Hey on the top. Yeah, you see the Abarbanel in the middle, Im Bechu Kaisai. So he's going to collect from everybody. So if you look at Teshuva Aleph, do you see it says Teshuva Aleph, which is here, Teshuva Aleph. It's just like three lines into the Abarbanel. Teshuva, that teshuva here means answer, so he's giving many answers to this question that we just asked. Why are we emphasizing the material reward? What about the spiritual reward? Okay, so first of all, he quotes from the Rambam, and he says that the Rambam tells us that Ein kan schar v'einish. We're making a mistake, we're not understanding it to begin with correctly. This is not rewards. This is not punishments. When we talk about all the blessings, it's not rewards. The curses, they're not punishments. You have to have a whole different perspective on all these things that we mentioned about the rain falling at the right time, all the fruits and vegetables growing at, you know, beautifully. He says, rather, what is it? Ki im hasaras hamainim mehashlemus. Removal of all obstacles from completion. In other words, all it is removal of obstacles. What does that mean? What does it mean, removal of obstacles? And he says, and the opposite, shahaya raitza ba'avayda shalai almanas l'kabal pras. You should want to work, not because of reward, as we know that's the real way, not because we're getting a reward. V'haschar ha'amiti hu ruchni ha'magia ba'ilam ha'nisham, is the true reward, the spiritual, that we will receive in the spiritual world. But what does it mean when the Rambam uses that language that he quotes in so short? It means simply, if we start our day, we say Maida Ani, and we wake up and there's lots of things that are not 100%. It's cold, whatever it may be, it's raining, something hurts, I got a bad phone call, it's not easy. So we have a choice. We have a big choice that we have to make. We have to constantly make decisions. So are we going to regard those things, or are we going to say, I'm going to try anyways. I'll say Maida Ani. I'll open my siddur anyway. I'll come to the shir anyway, whatever it may be. I'll do what I have to do anyway. What Hashem promises us is, if we make the start and we make that decision and we start living the way we're meant to live, Hashem will remove, or at least ease some of those obstacles, which will enable us to continue doing what we want to do, the right thing that we want to do. But we have to first want to do the right thing. Then he will remove the obstacles that are stopping us. It doesn't obviously always work so simply in life, we know that. But nevertheless, this is what the Rambam says, how the parasha means. It sounds like rewards, it's not rewards. These are things, because if we don't have the rain and you're hungry, well, you can't learn, right? You can't daven, you can't do a mitzvah. You can't give tzedakah. So he says, no, I'll give you enough money so you could give tzedakah because that's what you want to do. So that's how the Rambam explains it. That's why he doesn't have to mention the spiritual rewards, because it has nothing to do with reward. The spiritual things, for sure, we're going to have. And we do our mitzvahs because we want to connect to Hashem. And therefore, Hashem says, you want to connect to me? You want to come close? Okay, I'll pave the way. You know, I'll make the road clear so that you can arrive here safely, quickly, easily, without too many hassles. That's the idea of all of the quote-unquote what we call rewards. In the Chumash, they're not rewards. So that's one, it's a very famous one, but it's a very interesting perspective for us, because I'll tell you why I say that, because sometimes a person might think, are we like children, you know, do we need to have a candy, you know, dangled so that we should do something? It doesn't make any sense. That's not how it works. But the idea is not that at all. The idea is that in life, we don't need a candy, but we need, if we want to write notes, you need a pen and you need paper. So Hashem has to provide the tools so that we can learn Torah and do mitzvahs, that we can be giving people in society. Otherwise, we can't. So that's why. That's the perspective. So we make the effort and Hashem will provide. He'll give us the health so that we could wake up in the morning and do what we need to do. Okay, that's one answer. Now let's see the second answer. It's also from the Rambam. The Rambam gives us in different places different answers. And the Ibn Ezra in Parshas Hazinu. And he says, so this is Tshuva Beis. Hagmul haruchni kosha lahavinai. The Torah doesn't discuss the spiritual reward because spiritual rewards are very difficult for us to understand. Kol oid ha-neshama baguf, as long as the neshama is in the body. We have no clue of spirituality. It's just beyond our scope. We know material, physical, especially while we're still alive. Va-Torah nitna l'kol. The Torah was given to everybody. Al-kein dibra bi-yehudim gashmiim hamuvanim. That's why the Torah mentions these physical promises, because these are what is clearly understood by everybody. That's another answer. Let's see the third answer, Tshuva Gimel. That's according to the Rabbeinu Bechayi and the Ibn Ezra and Hazinu. Okay, so he says, and to the Ramban in Achrei and in Parshas Ekev. See, it's in many, many different places. So he says, Hasharas v'gemul hanefesh, so hanefesh, yeah, mechuyovim mitzad haseichel v'hateva. V'yudei ha-Torah heim b'derech hashkocha nisis. Very, very interesting. It's a very different perspective to how we would look at it. But he says that when it comes to spiritual rewards that we call rewards, actually, those are natural consequences. If I do a mitzvah, because Hashem commanded me to do a mitzvah, so if you think about it, then the natural consequence should be that I should get closer to Hashem. I fulfilled what Hashem wants. So doing a spiritual good deed should generate naturally a spiritual energy, a spiritual reward. What is not natural is that when I do a spiritual mitzvah, and what do I get? A physical reward. That's not natural. Why should the spiritual thing that I do, why should it be that when I open the siddur and I daven, then when I close the siddur, somehow or other the bus comes on time? I don't know. Why is that natural? That's not natural. That's the miracle. Do you see? So that's why the Torah mentions those things, because that's the miracle. It's actually quite a very beautiful, beautiful way of looking at it. He says, because the promises of the Torah are how Hashem specifically supervises, and they are miraculous. And as we had in the previous parasha, Kamei Vitziveisi Es Birchasi, right, that Hashem will command His blessing in the sixth year. V'hechrich, and what's a proof of this? Okay, interesting. He says, when you give a miser, you know, we have, this is the one mitzvah that Hashem says, you can test me. So when you give a tenth, Hashem says, you're going to become more wealthy. You're never going to lose out from it. You'll make a cheshbon at the end in accounting, and you'll see that you won't be left with not enough money. Anybody who gives a meiser is never can never say that they were left starving because they gave meiser. Actually, if anything, it increases your money. So he says, and that's also miraculous. Al kein ein mekaimam kam. That's why their place is not here. In other words, the spiritual rewards don't belong here because they are more natural than the physical reward. Okay, another beautiful thing, according to the Kuzari and Reb Nissim. So they're talking just historically, so to speak. They say, you know, many people in their time, I mean, till today, they deny the fact that there's any God, there's any supervision, that anything makes sense. They say the world runs randomly. Everything's just haphazard, right? It all just came about from nothing, and nothing makes sense, and there's no supervision, there's no God. And he says, V'chein Ba'alei Hakdamos, all those early people, the early philosophers, Musar ha'adam ladaitam ha'nefesh ha'maskeles. So what happens? Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Hashem wants l'hareis li'Yisrael, to show the Jewish people hashgachasai, his specific supervision, al yidei hadvarim hanirim b'chush, with things that are tangible. He wants to show us that it will rain on Friday night. And when it rains on Friday night, we'll say, ah, that's what it says in the Chumash. So there is a God. It's a bit similar to the one we said before, but it just makes it, it brings it home to us. And in life, the truth is, it does take awareness. But I think we can all say that when we live in a certain awareness, we do see how things, somehow the strangest things fall into place. And how did that happen? Well, there must be a God. Like for most of us, it doesn't maybe happen every day, but every once in a while, we see how something like random seems random. But we say, no. How did that happen? It must be that Hashem wanted me to be here at this place, see this person, meet this guy, whatever it is, because Hashem runs the world. So again, to bring home for us that there is a supervision, there is Hashem running the world. Let me just see. I think it was okay. This one is okay. And then obviously through this, we will believe also that there's a neshama, that we have a neshama. And this is actually like, we almost become like prophets, you know, we like get a certain spiritual vision. Okay. Then we say, oh, now this is also an interesting one. Rav Sadia Gaon says, Sideya Hey, the fifth one. He's an interesting one. Also the Rambam in Meir Nevuchim says, the Torah has a fast. Remember we learned a few times that the Torah says we shouldn't go to astrologers. Don't go to astrologers. Don't go to all those. So you think that maybe we're at a disadvantage, because other people can get a certain insight into what's going to happen and perhaps make decisions based on that. And we are not, we're not allowed to. So we'll be at a disadvantage. We don't know, should we invest the money or not? We can't go to these signs things. So that's why the Torah says to us, don't worry. I will give you all of your needs. You see, as he says, Hefticha shelo yim'atu, it promises that he will not lessen lanu hatzlochas gashmis ka'elu, all the physical blessings, successes, in other ka'elu, like those people. In other words, they won't be in an advantage, even though you don't dafke, because you don't ask for signs, I will make sure everything will work out because you are following in my directives. Okay. And he says also that truth is that just cleaving to Hashem is the greatest reward of all. And that's why Hashem says, I will walk amongst you. So even though it seems there's no spiritual thing, they say at the end of the day, the truth is if we read it properly, we realize that the ultimate spiritual reward is just to be close to Hashem. And that is mentioned in the Torah in different ways. The fact that we have the Mishkan, the fact that we say Hashem will walk amongst us, that's the greatest thing possible. That makes our life the most meaningful and the most deep way that we can live. And that's definitely mentioned here. Okay, so these are all different angles of it. And one more thing I think the Ramban says. Oh, interesting. Also, Ramban says a fascinating thing. He says that, you know how we say in the paragraph, the second paragraph of Shema, see, it's on the next page. If you go to the next page, you see where it says Svarnu on the next page? So go two lines on top of Svarnu, where it says Da Zayin L'Ramban. It is on the, I'll tell you, it's on page Tuf Shin Ayin Vav. On the top, right? So right on top of the Svarnu, two lines, Da Zayin, the seventh thing he brings. So he says, the Ramban says, V'hoya im Shamaya, right? It says, if you will listen, and then what does it say in V'hoya im Shamaya? What will happen if we listen to Hashem? We say it every day in Shema. What will happen? He will give us our crops at the right time, right? Right? We say it every day. Things will grow. So he says an interesting thing. What is this? These things are leklal ha'uma. This is referring to the nation as a whole. In other words, to the community. Shebidvarim gashmiim hadin ha'ilech achar harayiv. Because when it comes to physical blessings, it works by the majority. This is not the case when it comes to spiritual promises, spiritual rewards. Sheheim alpi kol echad ve'echad. That's just by every individual. So that's why the Torah mentions so much physical rewards, because the physical goes by how the masses. If majority of people are good, it will rain at the right time. But with you, for you to have a closeness to Hashem, that depends on you. That, it doesn't matter if everybody else is doing the right thing. You don't get to be close to Hashem because somebody else is doing the right thing. Just because somebody else went to shul on Shabbos is not going to help you. You won't feel closer. No, you have to all go yourself. So you see, that's an interesting thing. Okay, then he goes on and let's see the Sfarim. The Sfarim says very nicely also. Chukas, so you see this Sfarim. Imbu chukas. Chukas heim, so first of all he says these are like decrees. Gzeiras hamelech, the decrees of the king. Sheyina ga'adam bahem, that a person should conduct his life b'hishtadlus. He should put his effort in, iskei chayav, in the work of his life. What does that mean? He says, v'hisnahig bahem yikra halicha. Why does it say in Bechukai, say, teilechu, which sounds like walking? Because walking means that's how you conduct your life. So you conduct your life according to how Hashem commands. Then he says, go to the next one, ve'es mitzvaysai tishmeiru, hinei hashmira b'mitzvis. What does it mean to guard the mitzvis? That's what it sounds, literally. We just translate liberally to keep. But lishmar is to guard, right? What does that mean? Hashkocha ba'oifen asiyosam u'bimechuvan mehem. When we're talking about guarding, that means that we are extra careful to keep the mitzvah properly. So we say, what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? How am I supposed to be doing the mitzvah? That's what it means, shmiras ha-mitzvah. Just to keep the mitzvah on its own. So you do it generally, liberally. But here we're talking about specifically being careful to do it properly. And then he says, what happens then is if you do that, then he says, very interesting thing, if you do that, then you taka become, he says, then you fulfill your purpose and you literally are in the image of Hashem, because then you are doing what Hashem wants, exactly how he wants it to be done. Then he says, v'asise ma'isam, you will do them. V'oz yelachem ze hashlemus bekinyan. Then this will be like something that you completely acquire. V'oifen shetasu oisam k'may payalin. It's a very beautiful language, like good workers, you know? We have different kinds of workers, as we know. So there are good workers, and then there are average workers and below. But you will become good workers, good laborers, berotzei nafshechem, because you're going to be doing it with will, because you want to. Loikimitzuvim v'aisim miyira, not just like somebody who's being told to do it and they're petrified not to keep Hashem's word, because I mean, I don't know, I don't want to do the wrong thing. No, but you want to. That's what v'asisem aisam is. So you see, it's a very powerful thing. So first of all, you go in Hashem's ways. You do what Hashem wants. Then you do it even better. You're careful. You find out exactly what you're meant to do. And then that leads to, and what you hope is, what you're working towards, is that you want to do it. You want to. You're there because you want to. You do it with your will. And this is the greatest way to come close to Hashem. And that's why he says, Aval tasu me'ava, do it from love. Chafetzim mirotzen akel yisbarach, because you want to do the will of Hashem. As we say, ka'amram asei ritzaincha kirtz, sa ritzaine kirtzaincha, make his will your will. As we said in the Shemayne Esrei Ritzei. That's what Ritzei means. We should make our will, that it should be like what Hashem wants. Okay? And quickly, the Al-Sheikh also asks the same big question that the Abarbanel dealt with. Why are we so much emphasizing all these physical rewards? And he brings the famous line, Schar mitzvah b'hai alma lepa. That reward for mitzvahs in this world is nothing. It's like saying, it's an interesting thing, an example that's given. It's like saying, if somebody, let's say, I don't know, if somebody gets a PhD and you say to them, oh, that's so good, I'm going to give you, you know how you in kindergarten, I don't know, you'll get a little children's certificate or even a candy bar. I mean, what's that have to do with anything? The person's going to, you don't say that. It doesn't make any sense. That's what he says. The rewards in this world for keeping Torah and mitzvahs, it doesn't even go to, it's like, it's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. So he says, Ela yod lanu matnas chinam. You have to look at it totally differently. These are not rewards. These are just presents for nothing. It's like somebody will tell you, you know how you go to, they do this in Kohl's, let's say, and they give you a little, I don't know, a little bonus nothing. You know it's nothing because you've just paid $200 for your shop, right? And they say they're going to give you, I don't know, a free apple. I mean, whatever it's going to be, it's nothing. But it's still something because it's just a nice little, you know, a nice little something. And that's what he says it is. It's matnas chinam. These are just small free gifts. These are not what you worked for, but they're free gifts. Obviously, noisaf, in addition to the real reward, which will happen in the future. V'noisaf l'Torah, and of course, in addition to the greatness of the Torah itself that we get. So, what do we say? These are all just free rewards. I don't know what you want to call them, free little small gifts. And that's why what will happen, he's also going to give us rain and peace and salvation. Obviously, because we do the mitzvahs not for the sake of getting the reward. There's just one or two more over here, and I want to show you something. I feel bad. I know it's taking so much time, and it's a bit tedious, but it's just so magnificent. For me, one pasuk, not even one pasuk, like literally, you can spend, as I said, months, because this pasuk has so many commentaries. It's absolutely incredible. I want to just show you one more. I want to see if I want to do anything from here. There's one more beautiful from the Emek Tavra. He says it very nicely. He says, what's Hashem doing? We have to imagine. Hashem is like, you know, it's like if you go to a doctor, and the doctor, some doctors, are just very clinical, and, you know, they're good doctors, but they're very clinical. You know, you go to them, they have their 15-minute slots, they keep their time, very good, they're very, you know, some people love those doctors, because you don't have to wait for them. But, you know, in and out, they'll tell you what to do, what's right, because that's their job. And you've come to them, so they say, eat healthy, go to sleep on time. They'll tell you what to do to, you know. But then they close the door next, you know. That's one kind of doctor. But then, you know, there are those doctors that you wait hours. Why? Because they spend so much time with you. Why do they spend so much time with you? Because they actually care, right? I don't mean to, please don't take anything personally. Just a joke. You understand? So the doctor cares, or even a parent, or an aunt, or an uncle, or a grandparent. When you sit down with a child and you tell them, don't eat the sugar, you can see the child's hyper because they're eating the sugar, because you really, really care about the effect of what's happening to the person from what they're doing. So he says, the Emek Tavra says a beautiful thing. He says like this, that the Torah, why does the Torah deal so much in the physical realm? Because Hashem cares about us. And what does Hashem want? He's our Father. He wants us to be healthy, really, literally, physically. Why? So that we should be able to live purposeful lives. If a person is going to spend their whole life exhausted, or God forbid, even worse than that, sick, well, then they won't be able to serve Him. They won't be able to do Torah mitzvah. They won't be able to be a mensch. They won't be able to live with purpose. So therefore, it is worth it for Hashem to spend His time in physical things, telling us, do Torah and mitzvah, and you'll see you will live healthy lives and you will be able to do more Torah and mitzvahs. But this is the idea of why he spends time on the physical realm, on the material realm. So it's not a reward, it's more actually to help you to do more Torah and mitzvahs. And he begs us to please, and that's why he used the word im, he says. Im is begging. Please, you know, somebody says, please, please do it. You know, sometimes a parent, please. The child doesn't want you, say, that's what Hashem is saying to us. In b'chukaisa, go, and b'chukaisa here means, go in the way that I direct you. If you follow my way, that's the healthy way. The middle road, as the Rambam says. All Torah, you find all the different things together, exactly how you should live your life. One day you rest, 7, 6 days you work, all the different things that we're meant to do. Wake up in the morning, daven, so you have the gratitude. All the different things. Eat at the right time, sleep at the right time. You will see, Hashem begs us, go in my ways, you'll be able to keep my mitzvahs. You'll have a meaningful life. That's the im, very beautiful im. Okay, now, if you go to the next page, I'm sorry that I can't skip this, but as I told you, there's so many commentaries. But then we come to one famous one. So the page looks like this. It's the Arachayim. Do you see where it says Arachayim on the top? Oh my gosh, the Arachayim HaKadosh on this
pasuk itself, I think even on the first three words, has 42, we won't do all 42, don't worry, 42 explanations just on this pasuk. Interesting, the number 42, the name of Hashem of Mem Beis is one of the highest names of Hashem. Ana B'Koyach was the name Mem Beis. But I don't know, but he has 42 explanations. So let's know a few. Shtapti cannot. The first one is one of my favorites, and I know I've shared it before, but it's one of my favorites. And the Aruch Chaim, I know seems like it starts in the middle because there's only one word. Didn't want to make the page before. It should just say V'Tam on the top. V'Tam, and then we read Shekara HaKosav Amal HaTorah Chuka. Why does the Torah call laboring in Torah, which as we said was learning in Torah, why does it call it a Chuka? Do you see it says Aruch Chaim on the top of the page? I don't know if that's the one. No, it looks like this. It has two columns. You see, skip maybe, skip that. Yeah, next, skip. Oh, skip to the next one. Oh, yes, sorry. Ah, there it is. Beautiful. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. So we say like this. Why is it called chuka? Okay, so let's understand what this means. Because he says chuka means a statute that we don't understand. When you talk about learning Torah is not something we don't understand. We have to use our mind when we learn Torah. It's a beautiful thing. He says, "Letzach sheyesh ba mitzvah, afilu lilmoy dvarim shelimadam pa'amayim v'gimel v'hei mituim etzlei." So here, this is making me feel better. He says that you're actually commanded to learn something, even if you know it, two times, three times, four times, repeat, even if it's already implanted and you know it so well, the mitzvah is to relearn. Torah, we're supposed to not learn once, learn a lot of times over and over again. Why? Ki chafetz Hashem, because Hashem loves and Hashem wants the Eisek HaTorah, that we should be involved in learning Torah, chuka chakak, like a decree. And that's why the Aruch Chaim says something actually incredible. Ki letam sheyilmai ta'adam Torah, in order that a person should tackle learn Torah many times, but he should still have cheshek. The word cheshek is desire. In Yiddish it's used also. Like, you know, you have a cheshek, right? Exactly right. When you want it. You know, you have a cheshek, you really want it, you have a pleasure in it. How did you do that? How can you learn something so many times and still have pleasure in it? So what does Hashem do? He does an interesting thing. Gazra, chachmasai, so Hashem in his great wisdom, he made a decree. Sheyiyeh ha'adam loymeid v'shoycheyach. That a person will learn and he forgets. So anytime we get upset that we forget, don't get upset. That's it. That's the revision. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says it's a gift from Hashem. So look at it differently now. It's a gift because then life is a pleasure. If you remember every single thing, well, I mean, I know everything. Nothing will be new. It's interesting. That's why, you know, for a child, when they learn, it's all new. So they get excited. But we could also get excited. I think we come back to that stage. We forgot everything. So now it's all new again. But it's a very beautiful idea. The idea being that, yes, we learn again. Because the truth is, it's not so much that we forget. But we do forget. But also, every time you learn something, there's something more. If we keep our eyes open and our hearts open, we realize there's some depth, something, an angle that we can take, some way of looking at it in a more meaningful way. I always share, but I said my father actually had an amazing memory, besides that he sat and learned all day and all night. But he was always ready to hear something from somebody. He always used to say, something new, epis anayizach, even if it was a teensy, like a little something, a different angle, a different perspective, and he appreciated that. That's when you have an open mind, and it makes life very wealthy, rich, and meaningful. Okay? Then he says, "V'tam omer chukaisai loshin rab." And why does it say the word chukaisai in plural? Yirmez lebeis Torah. It's very interesting because he wants to hint to us that what kind of Torah should we be learning? Two kinds of Torah: Torah shebiksav, both the written Torah, and the Torah shebal peh, the oral Torah. And then, interesting though, the word chukaisai, even though it's plural, is missing a vav. U'maseris hateva loshin yachid she'ein vav bein kuf letaf. It's missing a vav, so it's plural, but it also has a singular look. Why? Because even though there's two parts of Torah, the oral and the written, what should we look at it? We should realize, leimer ki Torah shebal peh, hi klula b'Torah shebiksav, v'sham binyana, because the truth is that the oral Torah is included and comes from the written Torah. So really, they're all one. You do break it apart when you learn, but you have to realize that really they are all one. Another hint from the word chukaisa being in the plural, al derech aimrei v'hagisa b'yayimam v'layla. We can't, it's not just a little bit, it's day and night that we're supposed to learn, right? So both day and night, that we have to actually establish times during the day and night to learn. And we say, why does it say it as if it's singular? Because really they are both one day. So it's day and night of one day, chukaisai. We have to learn Torah constantly, as much as possible. That was only one answer out of the 42. Okay, let's go. See, Obeis goes further. Then he goes also, because it's the same thing. What does this mean that a person has to keep Torah, so to speak, in two things? Well, as we mentioned originally, to learn. It's very important for a person to learn for themselves, but just as important, to teach others. That's why it says, teach them to your children, vishinantem, right? Teach them. And that's why it says, Lashon Rabin, to learn and to teach, and to keep and to do. Okay, the next one, V'tamayim Lashon Halicha, why does it say walking? Because we have to learn Torah even when we're walking. I think now we're also fortunate, this is the gift of the technology. You put on the phone and you can listen to anything. You have the little ear pods, some people, and you can listen to anything all the time, wherever you are. It's incredible, it's actually magnificent. Torah, it's not, there's no time, there's no place that you can say that you can't learn. There's always opportunity to learn something. Okay, that was one answer. I'll just do two more now. David, and this is a very beautiful one. Chayshev, lasais in yonam, v'raglav ma'ilichem aysay me'atzma melbeis ha-medrash. He says, what would happen is David HaMelech, the example was given, the Medrash tells us David HaMelech, he used to wake up in the morning, and he would think that he's going somewhere. I don't know. He has important business to take care of. He was the king. But what would happen is his feet on their own would take him to the Beis Medrash. So he wanted to go somewhere. He didn't really want to go somewhere else. But he thought he was going somewhere else. And where does he find himself? In the Beis Medrash. Sometimes, I think at home, we think we're going somewhere. All of a sudden, we find ourselves by the fridge. But David HaMelech, his mind is in the Beis Medrash. So where does his heart lead him without him realizing? To the Beis Medrash, to the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because he so wants to learn. And because that's what he accustoms himself. And that's why it says, in b'chukaisai teilechu. In other words, that you will walk, but you know where you're going to end up? You're going to end up in my Torah. If that's what becomes your focus. Okay, it's going to come naturally. One more, as I said, let's see. Another very important thing he says. See, Gimel. There are four ways to learn Torah, as we always say. There's pshat, the simple meaning, the remez, the allusions, the drush, which are all the medrashim, and the side, the secrets of the Torah. And we know nifridu ayin panim, and the Torah is not only four, but 70, right? We say shivim panim la Torah. There are 70 faces, as we're seeing in our own pasuk. You break it down. There is so much depth. Every word has so many different ways to explain it. And then he says, v'chal oifen l'kama archin u'shvilin u'resivais, each one, different paths, different smaller paths, little, so to speak. There are so many angles, so many ways. That's why he says, chukaisai in Lashon Rabin, in plural. Teilechu means that we should go in all of them. A person shouldn't lock themselves in and say, I only learn pshat, you know? I only learn the simple way. I only like the Kabbalah. No, you can't do it like that. You have to learn and open yourself to all different ways that Torah is explained. It's a very important thing. That's why it says in B'chukaisai Teilechu in the plural. And we'll finish with one more. This is a very important one. When it says that you will walk in the ways of Torah, so as we're explaining until now, it sounds like we should be learning Torah the whole time. But here he puts the emphasis on the word teilechu. Teilechu means to walk. Walk means that you are going about your daily business. He says, even when you're going about your daily business, what should be on your mind? The Torah that you have learned, or the Torah that you will be learning. So you should bring the Torah back into your mundane business. It's a bit like the story of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bartichev, right? When he saw the person putting on tefillin and fixing his wheel, you know, of the wagon. Instead of saying, oh my gosh, what a chutzpah, why is he fixing his wagon? He should be in shul with his tefillin. He said, no, look, even while he's fixing his wagon, he's putting on his tefillin, right? Obviously, that person shouldn't really do it that way. But what we mean is that when we are doing our normal things, our cooking, our cleaning, our shopping, our just talking to each other, we have to make sure that we live on a higher purpose. And the only way to do it is by learning first. When we learn in the morning, it just gives our day a whole lift and it makes everything different. So we walk, we bring our learning into our daily life. And that's what Im B'chukoy Sa Teilechu. It's a very powerful one, and it's a very, and the pasuk is in Mishlei B'chol Drachecha Dayehu. In all of your ways, know Hashem. Whatever you're going about, your mundane things. And now also, I think it's actually quite incredible for me. I don't know, especially, I don't know, on Friday, you stand there, you cook. Sometimes you can be on the phone, which is nice, but if not, you can listen. There's so many magnificent podcasts, so many things to listen to. It just, everything is just so different. Everything is so amazing, except sometimes you get a bit confused and, I don't know, put too much of something in. But the truth is that it is like that, that we can, it's an incredible thing. But it means even just ordinary, you meet somebody, you realize that there's a purpose in it, why I met them, even if it's just to smile to them, but whatever it is, and everything is done in a whole different way. It's a drop early, but we'll stop because it's a bit intense. We'll stop over here. Next time we'll do a few more orally, and then we'll see more about the brachas themselves, and we'll categorize them, and then we'll see. We'll see where we go from there. Okay.